Rob and Roz, Jacaranda FM.
It's The Drive with Rob and Roz, and I'm very lucky to be joined by someone I haven't seen in probably more than 10 years. The winner of MasterChef 2013, Carmini Pathis, in the house. Hello, friend.
Hi. When you say 2013, it sounds like a dirty set of words.
It's such a terrifyingly long time ago.
And yet it feels like a blip in the matrix.
Yeah. I was going to say, Season two of MasterChef that
season
you won.
Season two.
I remember that was the one we were watching religiously. I was such a fan. The show was so new and so exciting at that point. Is that still like a huge part of your life that comes up the whole time?
It was definitely one of those like sliding doors moments. If 2013 and the reference of sliding doors is not giving away my age too much. But it's that moment where you're like, oh, things are different now.
Yeah, things have changed.
Yeah.
did you realize then how much it would change?
Absolutely not. Because we got given these like press seminars during or at the start of MasterChef, which may have lasted all of 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But they didn't sort of prepare you for you're going to be at the store.
This is how to behave when you're famous.
Or not even that. You, like just strangers body slamming you and you're like, okay. So that it changed things.
Yeah, learning to deal with all the attention and stuff. But I mean, since then you've gone on to, you've written books, you've hosted television shows, you've got to travel with it, kind of thing. You've done some really, really cool stuff.
Life has definitely been interesting, but it's all along this food train, which has also been interesting because when you turn your passion into a paycheck, it takes on a new meaning.
Yeah.
But like, thankfully, food is the thing that keeps giving. It like different people, different ingredients, different ways of eating, and then the different people that get seated at your table as a result. So it's been a really I don't know, like soulful experience over the last decade and a bit.
I get that. I really do. Food is such an important part of being people and being together, which
exactly.
I really like. The new book. I love this title so much. Honestly, the new book is called All Dulled Up.
So I have to admit, throughout the process of producing this book, we had a working title. And I sort of, like, we'd shot the content and I was like, this doesn't feel right. And then, like, any sort of, it felt like a lightning bolt. Suddenly I was like on my laptop kind of sending out to the whole team, like, we're having a name change. And All Dulled Up. Everyday Indianish good mood food, just like it felt right. You know, when you can feel it in your soul, it just, yeah.
100%. And that phrase, I saw it on the title, everyday Indianish good mood. What is Indianish?
So this is not traditional food. There is garam masala with risotto and prawns and peas. There is patha, which is amadumbe leaves, which have got sour, spicy sort of chickpea flour into it that has been panko fried and served in wraps with hummus. There are, it's really personal because I think my brand of Indian food has sort of got bits and pieces from my travels and like just my experience of the world.
So, and I mean, in Indian South African is like that anyway. We've got our own flavor here. We've got our own stuff that we've done. So yeah, I suppose it's not going to be a traditional, this is the way it's done in, you know, that region of Uttar Pradesh, this is the way the curry is supposed to be made, kind of thing. It's our thing.
Exactly. Because I also think it's sort of like, yes, there is Indian food, but then there's Durban Indian food. And then that's also been sort of overlaid with whatever happened between India and Durban. So
tell me about putting the book together. How many recipes have you put in it? Why have you chosen those?
It's 80 recipes and it starts with sort of hug in a mug sort of things, which are like turmeric latte, that kind of stuff, and then moves into breakfast and then more lunchy, snacky things, and then sort of serious loads of vegetables and a bit of meat, a little bit of seafood, and then dessert. And so the idea was that to take Indian food or spice out of just, well, maybe once a month I'll get a curry. So,
got you. It's beautifully produced. It's beautifully put together. The photography has been done nicely. How long have you been working on it?
Many years. We this conversation started in like 2020, I think. And then we were supposed to shoot in 2021 and then life happened. And then so it sort of like panned out until we shot last year. So the fruit of my brain has taken a long time to ripen.
Love to see the whole thing. Is it available right now? Is it still on the way?
It is available right now.
Have you had a freak out moment walking into bookstores and seeing your thing on the shelves?
If you walk into a bookstore and you hear a shriek, it is probably me at the cookery aisle yet again surprised.
So who should get this book? Do I need to know how to cook?
You don't know how to cook. It's built for people who have 30 to 45 minutes in the kitchen. It's built so that you can use the same ingredients over and over. Because I hate it when you look at a recipe and you're thinking, oh crap, I've got to go to this like actual store to go and get this thing.
This one thing that only comes in a 5 kilo bag of which
exactly.
I need 2 pinches and I'm never going to use it ever again.
And then it sits in the back and then you look again and then it's got weevils. So,
yes.
So that's not the point. Every day, Indianish good mood food. Because this is the food that you can cook every day and be very happy about it.
So all dolled up, talk to me about eating around the world, because I see the title and it takes me back immediately. The best dal I've ever had in my whole life was in Edinburgh in Scotland. A touristy spot, like a super touristy kind of Indian restaurant on the streets. And their black lentil dal was just outrageous.
What did you like about it? And also, black lentil dal, while it is dal, it's not necessarily liquid. It's more like whole lentils.
Yeah,
not
it was.
Soft,
very
squishy
much so.
Lentils.
Yeah. No, there was just a depth of flavor around it at that point, and like that I hadn't encountered before. It was also the sort of thickest version I've ever. And it was just absolutely outrageous. But it got me thinking because I read that title and it takes me to Scotland, which is a weird thing for food
that is
to
bizarre.
Do. I know, right? So like in all of the spaces you've been to, all of the travels you've done and so on, are there moments that stand out for you?
Most definitely. I think the risotto from the book with the garam masala and prawn and peas on Go Eat World, I got to cook in Milan with this chef who had sort of, this restaurant had been passed down for 3 generations. And his English was broken and I only know food words in Italian. But like we sort of like cobbled together this conversation. And so whenever I think of risotto, I think of this like humble family style restaurant. But then it's humble, but it's Milan. So it's got saffron and parmesan cheese and whatever else. But don't you love that about food, though?
Yeah, I do.
It's like you taste the thing and you're there already.
Yes, it just takes you into a space, which is what I wanted to ask, because Indian cooking especially, it's such a family thing. It's like Chinese families and so on, when you're getting together and making the dough and rolling the dumplings and all that kind of stuff. Indian food takes on, everyone is in together and doing the thing. How much of this comes from your childhood, from Little Carmony and being with the family? How much of this comes from, as you say, the risotto you picked up from a chef in Milan and you've put your own spin on it? Like, where does this book feel like it comes from?
It's a combination, I think, of both of those worlds. And on MasterChef, they'd keep saying, like, put yourself on the plate and your food is personal and those kind of things.
I've that question always. I'm like, how would I do that? I don't know.
But this feels like me putting myself on the plate. And so, because I think I grew up in that, like, too many place settings, not enough chairs, everyone sort of scrambling on a Sunday. But then when you get served this risotto, it's like table for one kind of thing. And this book is sort of small batch. So most of the recipes are between 2 to 6 people because I was cooking for people like myself. I've seen recipe books where it's like biryani for 100 people. I don't know if I know 100 people.
Yeah, no. No one wants to cater the weddings, thank you.
No.
It's too much.
So this was very much like, I don't know, my heritage food with something else, but very much on my terms.
Got you. Does it feel exposing? Because you are, as the MasterChef people say, put yourself on the plate. Do you feel exposed?
I do. So if anyone has any rotten tomatoes, please, I don't know, tomato juice, can we have a something else? Because it's exactly that. It's incredibly personal. And if you don't like the book, you may not like me. So.
Oh, there it is. Because I was going to say, have you had a chance to think about why it feels so exposing? Why would food make you feel like that?
I mean, there's a lot of reference to my family. There's a picture of my grandmother and I in there. It's personal from a food perspective, but also not. I think a lot of times I'll buy a cookbook and I'm not necessarily weighing out cooking a recipe from start to finish. I'm looking to it because I love the chef and I want to know a bit more about them. So you'll get that in this book. And then maybe I'll use one of the recipes as inspiration for something else that I concoct in my kitchen. So it's difficult to not feel like it's personal.
It's
but
your
also
baby.
It is.
You know, it's all of the things that you love. Is there a recipe in here that stands out above all the others that's your favorite?
The one that I've actually brought you a little taster of.
Oh, really?
Yes. Is the Blondies.
Oh, so it's, I love a blondie.
Yeah. So it's a sunflower seed blondie with white chocolate and cardamom.
Oh.
And it's absolutely incredible. And I think what your face is doing right now is going to happen when you take a bite into the blondie.
I'm so excited. It's just, oh man, food is just such a wonderful part of life. I've got a couple of friends who are like, oh, if I didn't have to eat, you know, that would be great. I would just like drink something and then I could carry on with my day because I find it a waste of time and I don't enjoy it. And it makes me sad.
It is sad, but I also think that life is busy and not everyone has the time to cook for themselves, yeah. Even though that is the healthiest way to live.
Also, cooking for one is a complete pain in the ass.
Exactly. Which is kind of why a lot of these recipes are cooking for two.
Like, just invite, if you don't have someone, just invite a friend.
Or tomorrow's lunch is also great. I got you covered.
let me ask a question that I think a lot of people will want the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making curry at home, let's say you've got the basics of the technique right. Okay, let's say you're sweating the spices properly and you're adding the right things in the right order and you're giving them their time and so on. What are the restaurants doing differently that makes their curry sauces not taste like most people's home curry sauces? And I think maybe that's because I eat a lot of white people's curries, not a lot of Indian people's curries at home.
That is highly possible. But I also think that Indian food is incredibly regional, like most countries. And we get a lot of North Indian. So what you ate with the dal, the black dal, is North Indian. So it would have had loads of garam masala, would have had a bit of cream in it. That's why you were getting like all those vibes.
Yes.
So because I am South Indian, a lot of the food in my book it doesn't have all of those bits and pieces and it will taste completely different. It leans on a lot of the coconut oil, coconut in it, tamarind. So it's a completely different array of spices to what you'd find in the North.
Are some curries better than others? Is there a hierarchy of curry? Because there seems to be, I've noticed amongst friends when you're out at a restaurant, there's a hierarchy of ordering. You know, people think if you're going to have a chicken korma, you're a little basic. Does that make sense?
I have to agree with that. if you had to go for a chicken korma, I feel like maybe you don't love yourself enough.
What are your faves?
In terms of from the book?
Yeah.
Because
we got the blondie here. If you were making like a starter and a main out of here, what would you be picking?
I think I'd want to start from like a breakfast because this is still something we do at home. Like before, meat free Monday was a thing. We always do Monday as a veg day, and so there would always be a green bean curry, and so you'd always have leftovers, and then the next day you chuck an egg on it, but a sourdough toast, happy as Larry.
Yeah.
That's quite easy. It's also interesting. It's very healthy. You're getting a mixture of all your macros. Happy days. I also think that there is a recipe in there for patta, which my grandmother would obviously use on madumbe leaves. And then I found that you can do it with Swiss chard as well, which is obviously very much more available. And that is incredible. Either sort of just oven baked or panko'd and fried. And you can put it into, I've seen it being used as a burger patty. It's interesting.
I'm game for that. It sounds really, really good.
And I think with the whole world kind of like moving into a more veg conscious space.
Yes.
It's, for me, like the Indian continent has been doing Indian, like vegetarian food.
100%.
And it's done very well.
Yes.
So there are things that we can obviously lean on and use.
I'm looking forward to digging through this book. I'm going to ask you to sign a copy before you go because I want to make every single thing in it. I'm just flipping through the pages here. Just that turmeric milk lattes in the morning. It's just, it's just nice things to do the whole day. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's really good in the morning, but I also think it's really good at night because the turmeric's also anti-inflammatory and like a bit of warm milk, whether you're doing almond.
A little bit of black pepper,
or
a little bit of honey.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a vibe. What else are you up to, Carmini? Tell us stories.
I feel like I just want to survive the the book stuff for now, and then we will see what the next thing is thereafter. Okay. I'm a little bit idea in the headlines.
I'm a little bit overwhelmed at the moment.
It is, well, but in the best way.
You deserve to be overwhelmed because this is the kind of thing that only comes from a lot of hard work. Congratulations. The book looks incredible. All Dolled Up is on bookshelves right now, courtesy of Comedy Patter. I've been such a fan for such a long time. I watched the show when you were on it. I watched everything that happened afterwards. We had you in on the radio way, way, way back in the day. And it's really nice to see you again. And congratulations on this.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Such a pleasure to have you. There you go. Go and check it out. All Dolled Ups in bookstores right now.